Ni vse podan, kar je spodaj. Radio Študent 89,3.
Intervju Radia Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav v terminu za Ereš intervju. Danes večer v Kino Šiška nastopi britanski elektronski dvojec Mount Kimby, ki sicer deluje pod okriljem založbe Warp, dela tako zelo zanimivo, elegantno elektronsko glasbo, ki je bila vsaj v začetkih označena oziroma jim celo pripisujejo termin post-dubstep, torej nekako sta padla v kontekst Jamesa Blakea in podobnih, potem z naslednjo ploščo sta to stvar še nadgradila oziroma šla v malo drugačne smernice. Mogla bi se mi danes pridružiti tukaj v studiju, saj tako je bilo dogovorjeno, potem se jim malo zavlekali s tonsko vajo, se nam bosta pa, oziroma eden od njiju, kaj, se nam bo pridružil v telefonskem pogovoru, sicer pa tale koncert se začne že ob 21-ih, ki ga bo odprl najprej primorski beatmaker Čumfa, potem za njim takoj nastopta Mount Kimby, zdaj pa mislim, da imamo Kaja že na zvezi, pa ga bom kar lepo pozdravil. Kaj, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear
yeah.
me?
Yeah, we hear you good nice. Job, so, job. Yeah, we are now on air. I just introduced that you're going to play a show at Kino Šiška this evening. How is the sound check going? Apparently it got a bit delayed or something.
Oh, it always is, yeah. but it was good. It was short but sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So we are pretty much ready and it's sounding good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I just mentioned in the beginning that, you're signed to Warp label, which we are big fans of here, and they have lots of fans all over. But, you know, we got quite excited here at the radio station about the Mount Kimby when you released those first EPs. And personally, I've been a big fan of Warp throughout the 90s. And at the time you signed with them, it was obvious that they were looking for a new exciting sound. And I guess you fitted right into that. And I was wondering, did you approach them, or did they approach you?
It's hard to remember. I mean, I think we had a couple of offers, and obviously I grew up, you know, being a fan of their records as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've always tried to do things that stand out.
Things that stand out.
Yeah, exactly, and kind of changes of direction and stuff. So that was the thing that helped us decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's your relation to the legacy of the, let's say, 90s Warp? Were you both fans of the label?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you sign, you get to go to the warehouse and just take as much music as you like. So that's a good bonus as well.
Mm-hmm. They got known for this really kind of hardcore electronic music, but they had some more like bands or acts with kind of more organic sound, you know, like Seafill and Too Long Swordsman. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. I mean, not everything, but it was mostly, I'm from the same part of England as Aphex Twin, within like a couple of miles, so his reputation is like very large in my hometown, you know.
Mm-hmm. There is a clip of I think John Peel, I don't know, was it in 90s or maybe in 2000 when he visited Aphex and Luke Wybert in Cornwall. And Aphex said that was pretty much the only choice he had, you know, to be a musician, because there was nothing else to do. Was it kind of similar for you?
Yeah, I mean, when most people leave when they're quite young, you know, 17 or 18. And actually, it's a very creative place. And I, growing up, did a lot of things that were like musical with my friends, and there isn't a lot to do, but it's a really, really great place to grow up, and I think that has a lot of positives as well, you know, growing up not having a lot to do. We didn't like go to the pub or go clubbing because it just wasn't there. So up until I was like 17, you had to make up your own fun, which is nice.
So at the time that you were old enough to go out to raves, Aphex already moved to London.
I was pretty desperate to see what living somewhere else would be like.
Right.
So yeah, London was the obvious choice. I like London very much, but it's very different.
How did you meet Dom?
I was probably in the first week that I was in London, and we lived in the same apartment block, which was for our university. So that was how. And then he was making films at the time, and I did this score. I was writing some music for one of his films, and one of the tracks in the film was actually the first part of the song Maybe from the first EP that we put up. And he was quite excited about that and wanted to like learn more about using this software. So I was showing him, and we ended up writing some music together. And that was really the first record. It was like, it came out pretty quickly.
Did you have like a similar musical interest?
Me and Dom?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I think Dom was much more into like bands than I was, and he had like much more of that side of the record collection. So it was interesting for me to hear like stuff. I just didn't listen to guitar music at all, and hearing things that were actually quite good that I would never listen to, like Modest Mouse or something like that, was that was coming from Dom. And then probably the reverse is true as well. I think I probably showed him some more electronic music, and then we also just happened to be living in an area of South London that was very like vibrant and very like interesting, healthy scene sprung up around the time that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Or had been going for a few years before, really. But so we were both going to parties just to listen to music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good time for that.
Is this scene the dubstep that happened like 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
because I was going to ask, you know, if you open up the Wikipedia profile of Mount Kimbitz, they kind of attribute post-dubstep tech to you. And I was wondering, you know, what's your relation to dubstep?
I wouldn't say I have much of one, though. I mean, it was very, very exciting to be around and very healthy, like, natural scene. And I think that maybe it can't I think maybe that was the last of its kind in that way, in that the speed at which it scaled, I feel like we're not going to go back to a time when things move more slowly. So it was by the time our first album was out, I think it was still, we were already kind of a little bit uncomfortable with like the idea of being kind of pigeonholed, you know, labeled as having much to do with dubstep, because it wasn't something that made sense to us. I still listen to the guys that I listened to then and check out what they're doing and stuff, but as a whole, I think the scene, if even it is one, is so different from them.
Did you attend maybe some of those early DMZ parties, the legendary parties?
I don't know whether it was, I mean, we definitely weren't like the first people in the door, so I don't know, I wouldn't claim to be there, but we used to live really close to Mass, the venue, so we'd go, and we'd go when it was half empty, and it was a very different experience to kind of towards the end, where it was like a queue for 2 miles, you know, and But, it's, you know, it's not worse, it's just different.
Well, there in that scene, there were quite a few producers, well, maybe a year or two later.
Nearly everybody that was there was making music,
yeah. Yeah, but there were producers that didn't really fit into that kind of dubstep uniformity, you know, at that time. And I was wondering, did you ever play at some of those shows where you were on lineups with other, like, dubstep artists?
All the time, yeah. It was awful. It was like the worst thing. because we were playing with people that we really respected, but even at the beginning, it was never something that you could just put in between two DJs, because the energy and the kind of, you basically, the kind of the trajectory or the story of somebody's evening or, you know, an evening is totally changed when the music stops and there's people taking 30 seconds in between songs and, you know, mm-hmm. singing and stuff like this. So it wasn't the kind of environment that I would have liked to see us perform in. And it definitely wasn't the environment in which we performed well in. So, that was just, you know, that's the beginning. And then after a while, you get a little bit more to kind of carve out your own space a little bit, which is what we were always trying to do and still are trying to do, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a clip or an episode of What's In My Bag that you and Dom did. And you both picked, quite unusual artists, you know, especially for electronic music artists. And there was like African and Middle Eastern music, and I think you picked quite a bit of jazz music. Were you listening to a lot of that kind of music when you were growing up?
Yeah, jazz was a big passion for me growing up.
Did you go maybe to music school?
No. I had it played in the car a lot when I was a child, and I hated it. And then something happens when you get a bit older, and you kind of completely fall in love with the music that your parents were trying to force on you. Well, for me anyway. So I ended up listening to. I had lots of blues and jazz that was available to listen to, and actually, I always have an argument with my dad because he is much more technically minded. So he would say that you can't enjoy Coltrane unless you understand why he's doing what he's doing. And I think it's the opposite, that it's so good because you don't need to understand theory to enjoy Coltrane, because you can just feel it. And when somebody plays a record and you can tell who it is within less than 1 second, then I think, you know, you don't need to know about theory. I did have a really good teacher at school, but that was just like when I was like quite young, you know, music.
Mm-hmm. What does your father think about Mount Kimby?
I think he mostly is just happy that I get to, you know, do something that I really enjoy for a job. I don't know what he thinks about it.
Yeah,
he's like pretty, although he was a very serious guitarist, like jazz guitarist, but he recently got something in his hands which makes it hard for him to play. And so he completely unexpectedly has gone into modular synthesis. So he turned the garage into just a huge rack of modular, which is hilarious to me.
You know, another musician, associated with this post-dubstep moniker is James Blake. Apparently he was a part of Live Mount Kimby band in the beginning. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, at the beginning,
How did you meet him?
We met him at, he was putting on dubstep parties at his university in, where was he, New Cross. Yeah, just in South London. So he was putting on parties, and we spoke on MySpace. Mm-hmm. And he said, and we shared a couple of songs, and then he said, just come down. So we went down and played some records at this party in New Cross, which seems like about 20 years ago, but...
I imagine that you are still friends, you know, and I was wondering, is the more vocal-oriented second album has something to do with James Blake? Or maybe I will ask like that, what did pave the way, you know, to that decision to make a more vocal record?
Yeah. I wasn't really, to be honest. At that time, we were all very close at the beginning, and then everything got very, very busy, and it's only really in the last year or 2 years that we've all got back to having time to hang out and do stuff, really. So that was more like, I guess, like my first, you know, you make a record and then you become very frustrated with certain things about it. It's just natural, and you see like the weaknesses of it, and so you react in a way and make something that's different, and then you see the weaknesses in that and make something that's different, and it, you know, I think probably goes on forever. So that was just a thing that I remember playing the first few chords of home recording, and the vocal just kind of came up. And then I decided not to kind of, I would normally have just made something else out of it or used the instrument instead. And I thought it was better to just go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a strange one.
Yeah. You worked or King Krul featured on a couple of songs from the second album. How did that collaboration happen? It seems like it's really easy for Mount Kimby to find interesting people to work with.
It was easy. I went to a gig that he was doing and just had a chat with him, and we were big fans of what I'd heard, and I just had a feeling that we worked well, and it really was a very pleasant kind of collaboration in terms of the way that we both work is really, really kind of complementary. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, apparently you now put together a bigger live band or band for live shows. Was Warp supportive of that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we like being with them really is that they don't make their opinion too vocal to us. You know, they just kind of have been very trusting of whatever we want to do, and they've never suggested that the music go in any direction or the band be anything in particular. So yeah, the new group is something that is very new to us, four of us on stage, which is a different energy even. So it's exciting for us.
Yeah. Are you perhaps working on a third album?
Yeah, it's nearly finished, so...
Is it going to go more into this band context or band sound as well?
It's more a case of the music's mostly written between me and Dom in the studio, and whether we have the band in mind. I try not to think about playing live when I'm writing music, but it becomes more and more difficult the more you do it, I think. And now we are taking kind of little bits that are going to be on the new record and playing them live. And I guess it will go back into the songs eventually, but it's a bit of both.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're going to go back to soundcheck, so maybe just this last question. Uh-huh. What songs are you going to perform tonight? Probably mix the older and newer songs?
It's a real mix, actually. I just, looking at it, I think there's probably the same amount from the first two albums, a couple from the first EP, and a couple of new things that we're trying that might work and might not work, which is always fun. So,
It probably makes it interesting for you as well as for the audience.
It does, makes it very exciting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thanks a lot for talking to us, and see you tonight
Thank
at
you,
Kino Šiška.
Great, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
To je bil torej kaj polovica dvojca Mount Kimby, elektronskega dvojca, ki ga danes večer lahko slišite v Kinu Šiška, torej ona dva mislim, da ste na vrsti ob 22. ob 21. pa zelo priporočam, da si greste pogledati tudi že omenjenega primorskega beatmakerja Čumfo, torej danes večer v Kinu Šiška. Intervju s Kajom sem pripravil Goran, za tehniko poskrbela Špela. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.